And we are joined by the one, the only, Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Well, Riley, I tell you, I think the season, was that the appropriate ending to the season for K-State football on Saturday, losing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter?
No, the appropriate ending to this football season is me getting stuck in Iowa on Sunday and not getting back until Monday because of a snowstorm. That's the appropriate ending.
You didn't come back early because there were some people that drove all night and got back, I saw.
No, it just, look, with the way that we do content and stuff, like Zach had to do his video, Fritch and I had to write, and so, you know, we didn't probably finish until, you know, 10:15, 10:30, and that just wasn't going to happen for that.
Well, you made it back safely, though. That's the important thing.
Barely, but yes.
Were you hanging out where there's not a lot of people? Were there a lot of people at the hotel? Did people leave early? I mean, what kind of setup did you have when you were stuck there?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just us, honestly. I mean, I sat in a room on Sunday and wrote another story and just kind of hung out, watched some football and whatever. But it was pretty dead. There's not a lot of people in Des Moines, Iowa on a Sunday, I can tell you that.
You didn't bring your swim trunk so you could have the pool to yourself?
No, I brought workout clothes. Does that count?
Okay, well, yeah, sure. You can jump in the pool of workout clothes. That works, too. I've done that before because I forgot my swim trunks. Oh, my.
I did not bring them.
Riley Gates is with us. Well, we're glad you made it back safely. So let's talk about the Iowa State game. You know, if you believe in karma, this was a good example of karma. How many times over the last decade has Iowa State found a way to lose against Kansas State and Kansas State found a way to win? And then this game, up 38-21, everything looks great. And then things fall apart. And to me, the biggest play was that defensive touchdown, the fumble recovery return. That really changed everything. Made it 38-35, and Iowa State comes back to win 42-38. I said this yesterday on the show that it was maybe the worst possible way for this to go down from the standpoint that if K-State would have lost this game 35-13, nobody would have batted an eye. It would have been like, okay, our season's over. Now we can move on. But then to lose a game like that to where you could have been bowl eligible, have a 17-point lead, and then look at all of the games that K-State lost. Texas by 5 at home could have easily or should have won that game. At TCU, lose by 1, should have won that game. At Baylor, lost by 3, should have won that game. And then Iowa State, up 17, should have won that game. Should it just be that we look at it as that's the appropriate ending to the season because that's what K-State did all year long? They couldn't find a way to win those close games? Or should we look at it as, maybe this is all overblown. Bill Snyder's that close to winning all those games, and those go his way. They're 9-3, and we aren't complaining about Bill Snyder.
Yeah, no, you know, I think blowing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter is the perfect ending, is very fitting for the way that the season's gone just because of, and I'm going to take the negative side of it, they lost so many games they should have won it, and I'm not going to put that positive spin on it because honestly, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you can only really say that about once or twice, in my opinion. If you start saying it 4 or 5 times, you know, this team constantly said, oh, we're 3 plays away from being in an 8-4 football team. And I'm like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're really not. Okay, so just drop that. It's kind of funny because I wrote about it at the beginning of the week. I wrote about how close Farmageddon had been going in the last 10 years and just how crazy all the endings have been. You know, 2009, you go into Kansas City and Emmanuel Lemur blocks an extra point with 46 seconds or something like that to play. K-State wins. You go 2015 and Paul Rhodes can easily milk out the clock, go home with a win and probably his job. Instead, they fumble and K-State recovers and ends up winning the game by 3. And then obviously we all know what happened last year when Skylar Thompson hit Zuber in the back of the end zone for the game winning touchdown. So it's kind of fitting that, you know, this game ended this way. And after 10 years of dominance, Iowa State takes one back, and it was just honestly not shocking to see, but at the same time, it was incredibly shocking to see, if that makes any sense, because I sat there, and they went up by 17, and with 10:27 to play, or something like that, and I texted our group text, Joe, and I said, you know, who's ready to be walking in Memphis? I'm thinking they're going to the Liberty Bowl or something like that, and I meant it. I thought they were going to win it, but also at the back of my head, it didn't feel like they were going to win that game. Mm-hmm. It felt like something else was about to happen. It felt like something was going to go down, and K-State would probably come out the losers, and that's what happened. And, you know, just what a heartbreaking way to end this season, just with everything going on with Coach Snyder and everything. it didn't change my opinion of what I want to see happen in the future at the head coaching position. But, man, if there was a really tough way to go out, a real way that you don't want to see Coach Snyder's career end, unfortunately, that's the exact way you don't want to see it happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company there in Beloit. Okay, so Gene Taylor did an interview, I believe it was yesterday, asked questions about Coach Snyder, asked questions about the timetable, asked questions about, you know, the way K-State handles this moving forward. And I'll just go ahead, instead of stealing your thunder, just tell everybody out there listening what Mr. Taylor said about the situation.
Yeah, a really good interview with John Cruz of 1350 KMAN here in Manhattan. You know, John asked some pretty good questions to Gene Taylor, and I think the biggest, you know, obviously it was just, hey, update us on the status. You know, when are we going to have a decision here? When are we going to have an idea of what's going to happen? And Gene Taylor told John that he anticipates having something settled by the end of the week. And that's what I want you to listen to what I just said. They want to have something settled by the end of the week.
Yep.
So that's very telling to me. That tells me that the two sides are not on the same page right now. It tells me that Coach Snyder is wanting to stay. It tells me that Gene Taylor is wanting to move on, and they're trying to get something that they can both agree on. And I don't know what that is. He went on to say that it was obviously a tough loss. It was obviously not the way you wanted it to go. And he kind of talked more about coaching searches. He said there's not an ideal time ever, really, to have a coaching search because he was asked about Texas Tech being out on the trail already looking for their coach. And meanwhile, here's K-State trying to decide if they need to get a search going or not. So, you know, obviously really good interview there, and you can go on the K-Man's website, and I'm sure it's on there. But this is really bad, I think. And I've said week after week after week here that it's only going to get uglier before it gets prettier. And I think we're about to reach the ugliest part of it, because the absolute only thing I can come up with that the two of these guys would agree on, unless I'm completely misreading the situation, is that Gene Taylor gives him 2019, but makes him decide on a coach in waiting for 2020. That's the only way that I see him being okay with what Gene Taylor is about to do, with Gene Taylor being okay with what Bill Snyder feels, and here's the bad part of that. It doesn't matter if those two guys come to that conclusion. That's not going to make 53,000 fans that are going to be in Bill Snyder Family Stadium happy. That's not going to make the entire K-State Nation happy. They want to change. They don't want Bill Snyder to be the head coach next year, period. End of story. And I'm not saying you have to go on the basis of fans. I'm not saying that maybe Coach Snyder isn't the right way to go, but at some point you got to listen to your fans. You got to listen to the people that are giving you the money. And who's paying for all these facilities? Who's paying for your contract, et cetera, et cetera? Who are these donors? And those people are the people that want to change. And if it comes down to that, and Gene Taylor, here's the thing. If Bill Snyder is the head coach next year, Gene Taylor is responsible for everything that happens to the K-State football program. It is on his plate. Whatever happens here moving forward, that's his responsibility, and he's going to have to own it. And honestly, if he brings Bill Snyder back and they win 3 games next year, and you move on from Bill Snyder, and then you hire a new coach, it's going to take probably 2 to 3 years to rebuild. Gene Taylor might not have a job in the next 5 years, honestly. I mean, that's what you're looking at, because you can't have a complete rebuild from a program that consistently was winning 8, 9, 10 games.
I don't think it's a major factor, but I do think it's a contributing factor, and I think it's going to help coax Gene Taylor towards what you're talking about and moving on from Coach Snyder, and that is what's happened in Lawrence. I think if Kansas would have just, you know, held on with Beatty another year, there might not have been as much of a rush. But you see Kansas getting a big-time hire in Les Miles. Whether or not that's going to work out or not, we shall see. But it instantly helps them recruiting-wise. He has access to kids that David Beatty never could get access to. And this is the thing I compare David Beatty to Bill Snyder, and it's the only time I'll ever compare David Beatty to Bill Snyder. And that is, David Beatty wasn't getting it done on the recruiting side. He was a lame duck coach. He had one commitment. Kansas State's not getting it done on the recruiting side. It feels like a lame duck coach situation for K-State, whether it's Bill Snyder's volition, you know, every year I'm going to look at it and see what I want to do, or if it's, you know, Kansas State saying, hey, we're not sure we're going to keep Coach Snyder. That's not healthy from recruiting. So bringing Coach Snyder back next year, I just don't know how things are going to get better recruiting-wise. And you told us last week that it'll be some players that more than likely will leave the program if Coach Snyder is back. So from that standpoint, I don't know how you can bring him back as a head coach if you're that far behind when it comes to recruiting.
That's my thing. And, you know, we dedicate our careers to following recruiting, to getting inside scoop on the team, and we've gotten some of that, like I shared with the players that are going to leave. But there's no way that we are the only ones that know about that.
Yes.
Gene Taylor definitely knows about that. He knows the troubles on the recruiting trail. And, you know, I know for a fact that Les Miles has called multiple in-state recruits, and he has their ears. He has them listening. And Kansas isn't chock full of, you know, four or five-star talent. I'm not saying he's going to build a national contender out of Kansas recruits. It's literally not going to happen. But, you know, he's going to get some of these guys. There are some really good prospects, specifically at Lawrence Free State, that he's going to land. And then you go back to the players that are going to leave, and I still am being told that they're going to go if Bill Snyder's back. And I think that's where you got to make your decision. Look, I don't see any way that bringing Coach Snyder back is a positive for this football program, for this fan base, and I think it's going to further increase the apathy in the program. And I think that KU is going to be taking steps forward, or K-State's either standing still or taking steps back. And you know, I'm going to say this in the way that I can as a reporter to you, a radio host, not to recruits out there who I'm not saying are listening to this show, but if I'm a recruit and I'm committed to K-State and National Signing Day is coming up in a week or two here, I'm not signing on that dotted line until I know for sure what the case is. Who's going to be my coach?
Exactly.
Who am I going to be playing for? Because you don't get released from that letter of intent just because the coach changed. Now, is the athletic director probably going to look favorably upon you if you say, hey, I wanted to play for Bill Snyder and he's not here? Yeah, he probably would allow you to a certain extent if you could make a good case, but you can't jeopardize your future if you don't want to necessarily be playing for the next coach. There's no reason for you to sign your letter of intent to K-State until you know what the future is, and right now they don't know what the future is. I told you last week that I felt K-State fans deserved a decision by Sunday. Obviously, with the snowstorm and everything, I think that kind of changed things because people were struggling to get back. I'm sure they didn't have meetings. Now, I'll say this, they had a team meeting last night. It wasn't necessarily public information that they had a team meeting last night, but we found out they had a team meeting last night. Nothing came of substance of it, necessarily. It was just kind of business as usual. But here's my thing, is that I think there needs to be another meeting. I think you need to have a decision. I want to have a decision by today. I know we're not going to have it. I want to have a decision by tomorrow. I know we're not going to have it. If there's nothing solidified by Friday, I just don't know what to do anymore at this point if you're a K-State fan, because this is honestly the time where you're making changes. North Carolina fired Larry Fedora on Saturday, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was Saturday, and today they officially hired Matt Brown.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that's a little bit different. I understand. I'm sure that they had been, you know, in communication or whatever and kind of had things set up beforehand. They didn't necessarily do this all in a 48-hour period, but they got it. They're done, and he's going to go out on the trail, and he's going to recruit people, and people are going to sign to play for Mack Brown. And Texas Tech is out here, and they don't have a coach necessarily, but they're going to be close. They're going to land someone, I would assume, within the next week, and they're going to get out on the trail. And meanwhile, K-State's trying to decide if Bill Snyder gets year 28 or not. And at that point, you have surrendered your right to call it your university. It is now Bill Snyder's university. It's Bill Snyder's football program. And at that point, I don't know what to tell you, because you can't let this become a monopoly. You can't let one guy run the program into the ground or run it as long as he sees fit. This wouldn't be happening anywhere else, but something needs to happen. And honestly, it's getting rather frustrating at this point, because it's every day that passes looks like it's becoming more about the Snyder family and what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Over what is best for K-State football.
But, you know, you say all those things, and we've talked about it when you've been on, and we've had these conversations for weeks, and nobody should act surprised by this. I mean, we presented the options. Well, Bill Snyder could willingly step away. They could force him out. They could simply fire him, whatever. And Bill Snyder willingly stepping aside after the season was over was never an option. And I've believed that since the dawn of time. Bill Snyder is a lifer as a coach. He is not going to step away. It's what he loves to do. He would love, if he's go out dying of a heart attack on the sideline, that's the way he wants to go out. It's not about money. I think Kansas State could give him the best suite, kick anybody out of the best suite at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, rename everything after Bill Snyder, and could pay him $2 million a year to be a consultant and tell him, hey, wink, wink, you don't have to consult anything. And that's not good enough because Coach Snyder, what he wants to do is coach. That's all he knows what to do. Coaching has always been above his family. It's been well documented. Football has come first. And if he doesn't have football, and we saw what happened when he stepped away the first time, he was doing these speaking engagements, and you could tell he was kind of bored with some of that stuff. And next thing you know, he came back and rescued K-State again for a while after the Ron Prince era. But anybody that thinks that Bill Snyder was going to just get up on a podium and on Sunday and say, hey, I'm going to step aside, we were all hoping for that, but we all deep down knew that wasn't going to happen. To me, the best case scenario that I think we've talked about this before was if Kansas State can put this together and put this to bed by the middle or end of this week, that might be the soonest they can do. But if it drags on past that, then you've got a complete mess. And it sounds like, based on that interview yesterday that Gene Taylor had with John, is that that is the goal, that they would really like to get this thing figured out, at least by the end of the week, that Bill Snyder's either forced out or steps aside, right?
Exactly. And if it's not decided by the end of the week, then
oh boy,
I'm going to be blunt. Gene Taylor's not doing his job.
Yeah,
his job is to keep this football program afloat and to figure out what's best and how you're going to move forward. And if you don't have a decision by Friday, I mean, what are you doing? What are you waiting on? There's no way, and I said this last week, there's no way that this one game against Iowa State is going to change that much, is going to influence, you know, whatever. And honestly, it might be a good thing that they lost to Iowa State, because I really think they might have gone to the Liberty Bowl. And unless I'm mistaken, I haven't looked at this year's bowl sheet closely enough, but the Liberty Bowl was in January last time K-State played in it. Maybe it still is. Maybe it's late December. I'm not sure. But that puts you incredibly behind the eight ball. Here's what I'm going to tell you is that if I was Gene Taylor and I had to make the decision of how to move forward, honestly, I got to give credit to Zach Carlson for this idea, because he was the one that said it first, and I agreed with him. Zach Carlson works for us, I guess I should specify that. Yeah. He said, you know, you got to make a decision that's done. It's over with. You can't have him back next year just because of the future of this program is not going to succeed with him there. And I would go to Bill Snyder and I would say, look, we're making the change, whether you like it or not. And on Wednesday at noon, I'm going to have a press conference announcing that there's a change in our head coaching position. You can decide how this is going to go down. You can decide if you want to be there and if you want to say that it was your decision and that you decided that you needed to step away, or if I need to stand up there and tell people that we needed to make a change. I don't think you should leave this in Bill Snyder's hands anymore. I think he's had his time. He knows what he wants to do, and it's clear what he wants to do. Now you got to do the hard things. You got to make the tough decisions, and I don't know that we're going to see that happen any sooner than Friday. And man, this could be a really interesting week. It's going to be one that, honestly, K-State basketball plays at Marquette on Saturday, and like, nobody's going to really be paying attention, because this is probably the biggest week in terms of the future of K-State football right now. And man, it's just, honestly, it's gotten to that point, like we've said for weeks. It's at that really, really ugly point where you didn't want to have something happen, and it's going to have to happen.
Listen, when this team was 3-6, and probably even before that, this is Gene Taylor should have always been proactive this entire time, which I would imagine he was. And he put together the scenarios. He probably already, well, every AD has a short list of coaching prospects. I know that. And he had to have come up with all the plausible scenarios and options here as to how to handle this. And I think he probably knew weeks ago what he wanted to do, he himself. Now, whether or not he had enough support from all the donors and everything else, I don't know at that point in time. That's why I totally agree with you. If there isn't something solved here by the end of the week, and this thing drags into next week, then Gene Taylor is either not being allowed to do his job, or I've been giving Gene Taylor too much credit to do his job. I understand you got to give, you're showing respect for Bill Snyder, and I think you said all the right things yesterday. He's deserved that, needs some time this week to figure out this and that. We'll sit down and talk. But you're right. There's got to be a deadline, whether it's Wednesday at noon, Friday at noon, because you got to move forward. And as other organizations, such as Texas Tech, have openings, and perhaps there's a guy you really like on your list to replace Bill Snyder that somebody else may possibly be ahead in the race to go get. And that's a big concern. I know Venables has been mentioned, and I don't buy Venables because I think if he wanted to be a head coach, he would have been head coach by now. He's got the greatest gig in America. He's like Vanna White on the Wheel of Fortune, Riley. Okay? Brent Venables, defensive coordinator of Clemson, a top five program. He's making $2 million plus a year. He don't have to deal with all the media as much as the head coach, not all the headaches. He's got it great. I don't even know if he needs to be a head coach anywhere, and it doesn't seem like he really wants to be. But that seems to be the name that keeps being thrown out there. But at the end of the day, whoever it is that K-State wants to go after, the longer they wait and drag their feet, as you said, the chances are they may not get their guy.
Yeah, and eventually they're going to be going down the pecking order now.
Yeah.
I think that in regards to Brent Venables, I think there's about three or four jobs in America that I think he'd take. I think one is the Clemson head coaching position, and I think one is the K-State head coaching position. I really do think he'd take it if the situation were right. Now, I'm not saying this year the situation is right. I just think that if the timing were right, if he wanted to make a leap and K-State wanted him, I think he would consider K-State. I think another option is obviously Jim Leavitt. That's a name that gets thrown around a lot, and honestly, I'd tell you he's the favorite right now to be the next coach, but Jim's got to look out for Jim, you know. I think that he'll probably get some calls here, maybe from Colorado, where he used to be a defensive coordinator. Maybe Texas Tech, if they get far enough down their list, calls up Jim Leavitt. But Jim Leavitt, for even if he's been talking to Gene Taylor and, you know, says, Gene Taylor says, hey, as soon as it's done, I'm going to offer you this job. He can't just keep waiting and seeing what Bill Snyder does. He's got to do what's best for Jim Leavitt. And, you know, if you get down the list for K-State, if you get down past 5-6, options that honestly at that point you're just further sinking your program. I mean, at some point you need to do what's best for you, and I think we're getting to the point where we need to start putting a little bit more pressure on Gene Taylor more. And I know it's a tough position, but you know, we can't just sit here and blame Bill Snyder for everything that's happening right now. We can't just say that it's his responsibility right now to decide something. So some pressure's got to start coming from the athletic department, and maybe the pressure is coming already. I don't know. I'm not behind those doors. I'm not seeing what's exactly happening, but some people are going to have to start saying some things. Jim Colbert, friend of Bill Snyder, maybe he's going to have to make some calls. Jack Veneer, I mean, the list is going to go on and on. At some point, somebody with power is going to have to make a decision. Somebody's going to have to push him in the right way because, well, as we now know, he's not going to come to this decision on his own. He's not going to do it willingly. He's going to dig his heels into the sand. He's going to be bullheaded about the situation, and he's going to make you force him out. I mean, that's to the point where you're at.
And that's what we predicted.
I wish I had an answer as to what's going to happen. I don't know. Honestly, I could get off this phone call right here and have an announcement maybe, and that wouldn't shock me. And then also at the same time, I could sit in my house and wait until Friday at 4:30 p.m. and get an announcement. That wouldn't shock me. I mean, I just don't know when. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's definitely a very unsettling time for K-State athletics right now.
You mentioned Jim Leavitt. You mentioned Brent Venables, guys that have been tied to the Kansas State program. I may be completely wrong on this, and time will tell whether or not I'm wrong or right. I feel like Gene Taylor is a guy that's going to find his guy. I mean, if he really wants to be in control as the athletic director, and granted, you need some support behind who you hire. But to me, Gene Taylor has a list, as I said earlier, and there's Craig Bohl, you know, out there maybe he could get. There's other guys out there. It doesn't have to be from the K-State tree. At least that's my opinion. From Gene Taylor could easily make his own hire because, as you said, this hire is going to determine whether Gene Taylor is going to be at Kansas State for the next 15, 20 years if this is his end job, or whether or not he's going to be forced out. This hire could very well determine his fate as athletic director at Kansas State, even though he's only been there for a couple of years. Do you feel like he's going to have the guts to make his own hire, or do you feel he's going to let the donors, in this weird situation, the donors help him maybe push Bill Snyder out, but the donors say, hey, we'll help push Coach Snyder out, even though we appreciate everything he's done. We're kind of scared to push him out, but you need that to get over the hump, to get Snyder out. We'll do that with the caveat that we have a say in who the next head coach is.
I think he's going to have to find the happy medium between the two. I don't think – I'm one of the biggest advocates for not just going to the K-State tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's familiar? Who do we know from our old days? Who knows what the program's all about? Everybody knows what this program's about. That's the lamest excuse out there. Nobody knows what Coach Snyder did to build it except the guys that were in it. No, it's different. People understand what's in it, but also at the same time, you can't have a complete stranger. I think you're going to have a list that kind of merges the two of them and find something in between. And, you know, is that Chris Kleiman at North Dakota State? Is it Craig Bull at Wyoming? Two guys that Gene Taylor's tied to? I don't know if they're really in contention or not. Is it Brent Venables? You know, does Brent Venables want to come here, but does Gene Taylor not see a whole lot in him? I don't know. I think he's going to definitely listen to input from donors. Obviously, you have to as an athletic director.
Sure.
But also at the same time, I think that Gene Taylor's a guy that, you know, if his career's on the line in a job like this, a hire like this, why listen to what other people think? You know, why go based off what you're being told is probably the right thing to do, and just listen to your gut, listen to what you think is the best thing for the future of K-State, and you know, whoever that is, ride with them. You know, make it a decision you're comfortable with. Because whether or not you hired somebody that the donors, let's say you hired someone the donors told you to hire, mm-hmm. and it was a complete and utter failure, you're going to own that,
exactly.
not the donors. You're
exactly.
going to be the one owning that.
Yep.
So pick someone you're comfortable with. Pick someone that you trust to get this job done. And I guess just see what happens. It's kind of to that point where we just got to wait and see who gets this job. Wait and see how they handle it. And come in, but like I said, man, a decision's got to come soon. It's got to come before the month of December starts. Otherwise, you are squarely behind the eight ball, and just you're going to lose 2 to 3 years. Honestly, I don't see any way you can come back and be an 8-9 win team if you sit here and just wait 2 weeks for Bill Snyder to make a decision. There's no benefits to sitting here and waiting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. By the way, Liberty Bowl, December 31st. That's if
Kansas, there you go.
Yeah, it would have been December 31st. All right, real quickly, men's basketball team 6-0, and I had a chance to be courtside on the weekend. And Barry Brown, by the way, just he's so good defensively. I'm just seeing him courtside makes you appreciate him so much more for what he does defensively. But the question I had for you was Dean Wade. In this game, he scores 4 points in the first half. He went 0-for-4 from the field to start the game. Then he looks like a totally different guy out of the locker room second half. He's very aggressive. He was very passive in the first half. He scores 18, 14 the second half, and coincidentally, K-State gets it going, and they win by 19. I have heard K-State fans over the years, they said it when he was a freshman, they said it when he was a sophomore, oh, he's just not aggressive enough. And I've always said, dude, he's a freshman, he's a sophomore, he'll get it figured out. But is that concerning for you when you watch K-State men's basketball for Dean Wade in his senior year? I know it's early this year, and Tyshawn Taylor at KU, I use an example, he really never completely figured it out till about midway through his senior year. He was kind of enigma. He'd play great in stretches, and then he'd kind of disappear, do some boneheaded things. And then KU went to the Final Four in the national championship because it finally clicked middle of his senior year. Dean Wade is such a nice kid, and and Coach Weber talks about, well, sometimes he's not as confident as he needs to be. He's such a mismatch for other teams. 6'10", he can stretch the floor, he can post and do all these things. As a person that covers him on a regular basis as you do, Riley, is it frustrating to see Wade show what he can do but then kind of disappear at times now that he's a senior?
Yeah, you know, I first off, I got to preface this by saying I didn't necessarily see a whole lot of that game. I was kind of traveling to the football game, so I was kind of listening actually to you on the radio. But yeah, I did kind of catch some of that, some of the Dean Wade struggles early on. And you know, to me, Dean is just a guy that, you know, he's not necessarily going to bring it at that level of intensity that maybe you want every game. And I don't think it's necessarily that he's a slacker.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him taking it easy or overlooking an opponent. I just think he's, I just don't know if he has that mentality of,
Alpha dog? Alpha dog? Would that be it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, he'll say sometimes, I know I'm the best player on the floor, but you question, do you truly believe that, Dean? Like, mm-hmm. do you honestly believe that you're the best player on the floor? Because it doesn't look like you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take him some time to get going. And the problem with him is if he, I said this on the podcast last week, and I still believe it. If he misses a shot right away, he will stop shooting. You know, he doesn't like missing a shot. Obviously, it rattles your confidence. If he misses a shot, he's going to immediately come down the floor and pass it to Kamal Stokes, Barry Brown, literally anybody else. Why is he going to do that? Because he's this small-town kid. He's this small background, and, you know, everybody listening to this show right now understands this mentality. If you miss a shot, you don't want the parents in the stands sitting here and looking at you and going, oh, well, that kid is shooting 7, 8, 9 times per game, and he's missing everything. He's not even getting his teammates involved. That's the mentality mm-hmm. that a place like St. John, Kansas gives you. And Dean Wade hasn't been able to shake that in 4 years. Meanwhile, Barry Brown, Kamal Stokes specifically, that guy could go 0-for-6. And if he comes down the floor on the other end, he's going to shoot the ball if he's open.
Yes.
You know why? Because he's from Baltimore, and that's what you do in Baltimore. You get your shots. You get your points, and you let people know you are a good basketball player. And I just think that's a mentality that, unfortunately, Dean Wade's never going to be able to shake. You know, he doesn't want people to think he's being a ball hog or he's not trying to get his teammates involved. Whereas in the meantime, literally everybody else on the floor, everybody in the stands, everybody in the media says, shoot the ball, Dean. But Dean doesn't want to shoot the ball until he gets to that point where he realizes that shooting it even when you're cold is not necessarily a bad thing. He's just going to kind of be that way, you know. He'll either score you 2 points in the first half or he'll score you 20. And you never know what Dean Wade you're going to get, and I feel like that's going to be the career the way we describe Dean Wade's career when he's all said and done is, man, he could really do it, but you just never knew when you were going to get it.
And that could be, if he clicks and he gets aggressive more consistently, it could be a deep run in the tournament, but if he keeps doing that in and out, it could easily result in an early exit in the tournament, and that's not to put it all on him, but he is their best player. I think everybody on the team would agree. He is the most, maybe most important player on that team. We'll see how it plays out. All right, real quickly, off the wall question. Most played song on your phone or electronic device? What song are you hip on? You're just all over.
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't necessarily listen to one song in particular. Right now, now that Thanksgiving's over, I'm starting to listen to a lot. Like, I'm getting into the Christmas music thing. And I like that that group Pentatonix because they do a lot of good Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is necessarily a Christmas song, but it's kind of like in a Christmas album of theirs. It's that Hallelujah song.
That's very good.
And they sing it, and it's really good. So I like listening to that one. I don't know, it's kind of weird, but I listen to that a lot. So that was probably what I would go with at the current moment in time.
That's a good answer. My answer right now is, it's not even on my phone, and I can't even answer my own question, but the song I really like right now is because I saw the movie, and I like her stuff, and then Bradley Cooper actually can sing, and that's the Shallows song with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I'm kind of hooked on that song right now.
Oh, yes.
That's a good
one. I listen to that a lot on the car because we have the XM station.
if you're not doing XM,
sorry, I'm either going with either the Pentatonix song or a lot of Queen because I went to that movie Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been listening to a lot of Queen recently.
Yeah, I love Queen as well. Absolutely. I need to see that movie. I hear it's really good. Two thumbs up for that movie?
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, fantastic.
What's that?
Okay, I just want to make sure two thumbs up on that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd go see it again.
All right, fantastic. Well, then I'll definitely go see it. It's got Riley's recommendation all over it. Hey, man, thanks for the time, and I would hope by next Tuesday we have some closure this whole thing, right, Riley?
Yeah, I hope I can come into this show next week and talk to you about a coaching search or basketball or something other than, man, Bill Snyder still hasn't made it.
We could finally talk some actual hoops for a while. That would be nice. Hey, man, appreciate it.
That'd be great.
And hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, very late. Sounds good.
Take care. Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com. Read all his work there, GoPowerCat.com. He and his staff and everybody on the staff, it's not his staff, I guess, but he and everybody on the staff do a great job, Fitz and Fritchin and all those guys. So read about it. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with K-State Athletics, especially with the football program, and that's why we ran long today talking with Riley, because that is the topic across the state, is what's going to happen. Like he said, not a lot of people are talking about the K-State men's basketball team, ranked 12th in the country, that's undefeated, with a pretty big game at Saturday at Marquette. That is just wiped underneath the rug right now, because everybody wants to know what's going to happen with Coach Snyder at Kansas State.